Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I have to tell you about this game-changing product I use before a night out with drinks. It is called ZBiotics. ZBiotics Pre-Alcohol Probiotic Drink is the world's first genetically engineered probiotic. It was invented by PhD scientists to tackle rough mornings after drinking. Here's how it works. When you drink, alcohol gets converted into a toxic byproduct in the gut. It's this byproduct, not dehydration, that is to blame for your rough next day. ZBiotics produces an enzyme to break this product down. Just remember to make ZBiotics your first drink of the night. Drink responsibly, and you'll feel your best tomorrow. I was going to a fancy dinner. One of those ones where they pair wine with stuff, and I always feel left out. It's just, you know, it's like you're spending so much money in the first place, and you're like, well, you know, they did spend all this time to make the wine, like, a whole thing, and I'd like that. I'd like to try that. The vision of this artiste in the kitchen. However, I have some of this product for free. They sent it to us, so I tried it before this social outing, and I suffered not from my usual ill effects. I still think, though, I overpaid. Like, on the whole, it just is a lot of money for one meal, you know? That's all I'm saying. Vacations, weddings, birthdays, and reunions. Oh my, there's so much going on! Get the most out of your spring plans by stocking up on pre-alcohol now. Go to zbiotics.com/dungeons to get 15% off your first order when you use Dungeons at checkout. ZBiotics is backed with a 100% money-back guarantee, so if you're unsatisfied for any reason, they'll refund your money, no questions asked. Remember to head to zbiotics.com/dungeons and use the code Dungeons at checkout for 50% off. Thank you, ZBiotics, for sponsoring this episode and our good times.
Dungeons and Dice is brought to you this week by ExpressVPN. So we know how ExpressVPN protects your privacy and security online, but here's something you might not know.
Okay.
You can use ExpressVPN to unlock movies and shows that are only available in other countries.
Oh, we're allowed to talk about that?
That's,
yes. That's all I use it for.
Yeah,
oh, that's legal?
Yeah. This,
yes. Matt always talks big game about the UK office.
I talk big game about it.
And why is the UK office better than the US office?
I mean, why? How is it not?
You had a really elegant, I thought, breakdown of exactly why you think it's better.
Well, for a VPN, I would say the reason that you should use this VPN to watch the UK office rather than logging onto whatever streaming platform has the dumb US office on it is that if you want a show that actually where a bunch of people actually act like they're on camera and have our real personalities instead of a bunch of like...
I just want you all to know that as Matt's saying all of this, I'm looking right at the camera. Like Jim from the American office being like, get a load of this guy, right?
Mm-hmm. If you haven't seen the UK office, go ahead, log into your VPN and go check it out. It's only 12 episodes, plus a Christmas special.
ExpressVPN lets you control where you want sites to think you are located.
Ooh, that's fun.
So you can choose from over 100 different countries.
I only ever think of the scene in GoldenEye where they're trying to find Boris and like his little things bouncing around all over the place and like the GoldenEye laser is going to get them. Do you guys remember that?
Yeah.
That's what a VPN is, in case you were wondering.
But you can't use it to cheat on your wife. Your wife will not think you're in a different location than you actually are.
Also,
so don't even try to do it for that.
Unless you're cheating on your wife with K-dramas. Use ExpressVPN to watch K-dramas off South Korean Netflix, or you could use Hulu, BBC iPlayer, anywhere you want it to be. You can be there. Hundreds of VPNs are out there, of course, but the reason we use ExpressVPN is because it's very fast. No buffering, no lag, you can stream in HD, no problem. Also works on all your devices, phones, media consoles, smart TVs, and more. So watch what you want on the go or on the big screen. So if you want to get access to hundreds of new shows, use our link right now, expressvpn.com/dungeonsanddaddies, and you can get an extra 3 months of ExpressVPN for free. That's expressvpn.com/dungeonsanddaddies. ExpressVPN.com/dungeonsanddaddies to learn more.
Dungeons and Daddies is a rowdy, horny, violent podcast for grown-ups. Content warnings can be found in the episode description.
Hello, and are you looking to be an intern for four dads? My name is Ron F. Stampler, CEO, CFO, CQD, SOS, ETC of Stampler Business, and we are looking for our sons. We're also looking for an unpaid intern to start immediately, right now. Are you an enthusiastic rock star who loves to have fun but loves to get coffee even more? Are you alive, physically fit with thick skin and able to take criticism and yelling and screaming and sometimes murder but not always and sometimes there's curse words and we talk about sex? We have just the job for you, or should we say internship? That's right. You're getting paid in experience, the pleasure of our company, and a chance to get a foot in the door in an industry where you are not valued and considered replaceable. We did a bad thing with a town and a pyramid, and now we're looking to explore that pyramid and vanquish the evil within so that we can hire mercenaries that cost actual money instead of you, potential intern candidate. We get into extremely long, boring arguments, which is why we need an intern to do the things we need to do while we're arguing about whether to do them. This internship requires a master's degree and 7 years of electrical engineering experience. This is an entry-level position with competitive pay. We're competing to see how much you'll work for no money. We're also super rich and you are LOL. Please submit a resume and a cover letter. We don't have a printer, so just come tell us. Are you ready to be called Daddy? Then hop aboard the Revenge of the Mummy the Ride and take part in this incredible opportunity.
Welcome, folks, and Happy New Year. Welcome back to Dungeons and Daddies, not a BDSM podcast. Actually, a Dungeons and Dragons podcast, a story about four dads from our world who are flung into the Forgotten Realms in a quest to rescue their lost sons. I almost forgot that. It's been that long since
been
we recorded.
Wow.
My name is Freddie Wong, and I play Glenn Close, the rock and roll bard dad of the group. And Glenn's cool fact... cool dad fact is this. You would expect...
They're cool facts now, cool not facts. Dad facts.
Change 2020, new year, baby. It's 2020. New year, new us.
You would expect Glenn, you know, a guy who's been on the road, to recognize the mummy ride, either in the LA or the Florida incarnation. And the fact is, Glenn is a big theme park junkie, but the truth is, Glenn only goes for Disney, baby. Glenn's a hardcore Disney buff.
Oh,
he's
man.
Got Disney pins. He goes to Disney World every chance he gets. They always got to stop off in Orlando and
refuses.
Is he refuses.
An AP holder?
Oh, yeah. AP okay. holder's got the mouse on the... Yeah.
But it's crazy that he's so like anti-government and doesn't realize that Disney is basically...
anti-government, pro-corporate.
Yeah.
It makes him charming now. It's like he's got his blind spot because he just loves Mickey
Mouse
so much.
He refuses to go to that Harry Potter land. That's some bullshit knockoff crap.
I would've
so never
put
touched Universal.
Money on Glenn Close being pro Universal, fuck Disney.
No,
like that seems
Disney.
Like yeah. so Fast and the Furious rides, King Kong,
nah,
like
cheap
wow.
crap. And that's Glenn's dad fact.
Hi, my name is Matt Arnold. I play Daryl Wilson, a stay-at-home coach dad who's a barbarian once he enters the Forgotten Realms. What?
He was a barbarian before. He just didn't know.
It's just all these subtle changes to, like, Freddie saying cool dad, and then you adding when he goes to the Forgotten
no,
Realms.
Matt says it all the time. He's like a barbarian now in the Forgotten Realms.
Yeah, I just shifted it.
Maybe
it's
just
it
been
up.
So long since I've done it, I don't remember what anyone else does.
I actually don't recognize anything.
I know. What is this? A little dad fact about Daryl. A little bit also about the theme parks, but one of the first things that Daryl connected with Grant, who's a big video game player, is that he saw that he was playing theme park, and he was like, oh, if you like those
shit.
Stupid, like if you like that on the computer, let's like go to a real one. And Grant and Daryl love roller coasters. That's like their
aww.
Thing. They're like big roller coaster nerds. But the first time Grant went on a roller coaster, he loved it. But he's got a little weak stomach,
queasy.
So he threw up all over himself, and he was so embarrassed. Daryl went into the stall and also just pretended to throw up.
That's very cute.
Aww.
And now he does that all the time. So Grant always throws up or it gets a sick stomach, and Grant and Daryl always has to keep pretending that he also has a sick. But no. Daryl's stomach's hard as a rock. Nothing upsets Daryl's stomach. But
that's super
knows that.
Cute. Hey, everyone. My name is Will Campos. I play Henry Oak, the crunchy, munchy, granola, munching, hippie, Birkenstock rocking nature druid dad.
Nice. You got it.
Who turns into a druid when he
guys,
goes
to that without a teleprompter. That was impressive.
I'm very excited about this fun fact. Fun fact about Henry this
wait,
week.
Wait, is a fun fact now?
Oh, my God.
God.
It's
at me. Dad fact about Henry this week. Like Ron, Henry's favorite musical is Cats.
Man, good to see the representation.
No,
here.
I know where this is going. I
Not
hate this.
The musical Cats. Just the music that cats make.
Oh, God.
He just loves hearing. There's an alley cat that lives nearby who sings his mournful tune, and Henry always imagines him serenading some lost love, and he's his favorite musical.
Isn't that the equivalent of cats screaming, just, I want fuck!
Yeah.
I want fuck!
It's the language. It's the romance of nature. There's no more beautiful
Will,
expressed
come
than
over
that.
To my house and listen to my stupid cat just like, for like, ever.
I do have an addendum to the dad fact, which is that Henry's never been to the musical cat. But he has been to Larkin Sparrow's parody of Cats called Nads, which they did for the fifth grade talent show and earned a suspension. Most of the lyrics have to do with Jellicle sounding like testicle. Scrotum Tugger is a curious sack.
Oh man, very good. That's good.
You got that locked, cocked, and ready to go.
Yeah.
They go to the spermicide layer at the end.
Very good.
Anyway, that's
wow,
my
good job.
I had a month to work on that.
Yeah, that's true.
Hi, my name is Beth May, and I play Ron Stampler, emotionally detached stepfather and rogue. A dad fact about Ron that is neither cool nor fun is that every year for a New Year's resolution, Ron and Samantha try to buddy up, so which is essentially the same thing as saying that Ron says that his resolution is whatever Samantha says her resolution is. So this year's resolution, since Samantha's kind of caught on to Ron's MO here, is that Samantha, therefore Ron, decided they're going to be kinder in the new year, practice more kindness. And in order to do that, Ron went to Hallmark and bought a big stack of greeting cards. And that's all he's done so far.
Where are the greeting cards? Are they just sitting at home, or did he bring any with him on the Forgotten Realms journey?
I think they're just probably sitting at home. I don't think the package is off them or anything.
I'm Anthony Birch. I'm your dad. And
Dad. Hey, Dad.
Hey. I missed you during the holidays.
Where were you?
Where were you at Christmas, Dad?
You didn't call.
Yeah, I was at home enjoying myself, enjoying the silence. Didn't have to wrangle a bunch of rowdy boys. My dad fact is that this is now officially an award-winning podcast.
Hey.
Because the Audioverse Awards awarded us they awarded me. Best player direction of a new production, which is A, the first time I've ever won an award that actually was based on my own merits, and B, is just wrong. It's about player direction, of which I have done almost none whatsoever. But thanks for that. That's nice.
Did anybody else win? Did like
I mean, the whole podcast won as well.
Did the podcast win something else, or was it just
they?
Your award?
literally, Freddie only sent me the one about me. He didn't send me the other one.
Oh,
I didn't know
God,
that. I assumed if the podcast had won something, you would have sent me that
such
too, but you only sent me that one.
That is a very Freddie move.
Oh my God.
Oh,
that's
man.
Great.
How is that a Freddie move? Okay. Well, we did actually.
I'm glad it didn't blow back on me. I'm glad it's a Freddie thing.
We also got Best New Improvised Production.
Cool.
Wow.
That's great.
Along with some other very cool folks. So thanks, Audioverse Awards.
Yeah, and like if that and if Joker wins Best Picture, it's just like good choices all around.
Yeah.
Like award season really coming in fresh.
I'll tell you what this podcast wouldn't win, which is the Dutch-Danish Cultural Sensitivity Award.
Yeah.
We just got a quick address this
on
one
me.
Because
That's
we
on
saw
me.
That
That's
one.
On me. Y'all look the same, sorry.
So to be clear, the little Danish boys, actually probably a little more Dutch, because the Danish is Abel Skivers, mm-hmm. And they have more of like a cough sound.
They must have been so excited to get in on that internet outrage. They must have gotten the alarm, like, somebody finally did something.
It's finally our turn. Go,
somebody
go, go.
Our turn. I kind of feel bad because I looked for examples of like what a Danish accent sounds. I'm like, well how different was it? And it sounds just like a pretty normal, like it does not sound like an accent. It sounds just like a slightly British, slightly Germanic.
They're not fucking freaks like the Dutch. They're weird voices.
Dude, the Dutch are freaky,
welcome
man.
To 2020.
Everybody who doesn't have an American accent from California sounds fucking horrific.
So Anthony, just right now, do you want to keep it as a Danish boy, in which case you need a little bit of a less lilting Scandinavian accent
a
and a
boy.
Low and free jaw,
Sex
as if
Excalibur
you have
is a Dutch boy now.
Yeah, okay. Don't change his voice, that's for sure.
I mean,
no,
don't
the voice
sound
is staying.
Down
the,
about
I'm not gonna,
being
I'm not gonna
Dutch
learn a new
cool
accent. It took me all year to come up with two new accents, so I crammed them into the same episode like a fucking rube. The last time we left you, last decade, the...
Oh, there you go.
That's a dad
joke. That's a dad joke, yeah.
You'd finally gone into the pyramid and found out that it was the Revenge of the Mummy ride from Universal Studios Hollywood.
Glenn spits on the ground. Is this a Universal Studios ride? Ugh.
You were basically going in there to take care of the mummy lord that was inside in exchange for Boreana's agreeing to let you buy more mercenaries for your assault on Barovia. You'd seen on the outside a sign with some of the letters missing on the left and right ends of the words. You realize that's Revenge of the Mummy, the ride. And inside you found a sign with every third letter missing that ended up spelling, this is a high-speed roller coaster with dramatic acceleration climbing Illin? I don't know. And backwards motion. Persons with the fallen condition should not ride. And there's a bunch of stuff. It was the biggest mistake I ever made and a lot of mistakes that I've made as a podcast host. So as you're looking at this car full of seats, essentially.
So we're at the front of the line.
Fast passed there. Nice. You decided to come back.
I do want to add that when the second Henry puts it together, he staggers back and he says, my God, this can't be. This is impossible. The Revenge of the Mummy ride in Universal Studios isn't a pyramid on the outside.
the Forgotten Realms does weird stuff to things.
It must be some sort of magic. This is crazy, guys. There's a roller coaster in here.
Yeah, have you guys been on this?
No.
No.
This is not even like a level one hurler. Like, not even Grant throws up on this guy. It's okay.
So
like, we could go on it, though.
It's not a scary ride?
You know what? The best part is it's a little scary. There's like some bugs and some like air spray.
What do you mean?
Like little fake bugs. Like, they make you think there's some bugs on it.
Oh, okay. How tall do you have to be?
About, like, 4 feet.
Now, See, I've never been on a roller coaster, and I don't take the boys.
You've not been on a single roller coaster.
I don't, you know, because of the whole capitalism thing. And, you know, for me.
I don't buy things.
Me and the boys are.
Where do you live, Henry?
I understand that I have to participate in society, but you know, there's just some things like, you know, to me, my favorite roller coaster is rolling down a hill, you know? So that's what I do with the boys. I don't really think Lark and Sparrow and high speed machinery should be in the same room either. So this is like but I don't understand. It's from our world. It must have come here like we did.
So as you're saying that, a wall illuminates in front of you, and you see a not-too-great, circa, like, 2005 CG face come out of a bunch of sand, and it says,
serve me and savor the riches of eternal life, and join us in eternal death. Now your souls belong to me forever!
And then this chariot of seats just zooms into the darkness, essentially.
Oh,
and
my
then,
God.
It's pretty cool, guys. They actually do different ones. There's three faces. And even though it seems like you're going a different direction, it's always the same, but like it feels like it's
now,
different
every time. Hold on. Sorry. Glenn Close, Disney file here, stepping in. I think you're confusing Revenge of the Mummy the ride with the Indiana Jones ride, which has a rotating chamber of three separate rooms, which hasn't worked since about like the mid-2000s. So you're always stuck on the middle route in. But originally, when the ride came out, it made it so that when you got into that section around the corner, the entire room, man, would rotate depending and give you three different options. So it felt like you were doing something different every single time. Also, did you know that the end of the ride, you actually don't go
okay,
back?
And then you hear some like roller coaster ass noises in the darkness, and then the ride comes back to a stop, back where it was.
Wait, guys, was this the same car?
Oh, maybe
we should mark it somehow.
Let's put something on the car.
I have an idea. Ron?
Yeah. I'm sorry, it looks, I don't think I'm actually 4 feet. I think I'm 5'4", and if you're only allowed to be 4 feet to ride the roller coaster, then I clearly can't ride the roller coaster. I have to stay here.
Ron, here's what I was going to suggest.
Okay.
Just to make sure that the ride is safe, why don't we put one of your frogs
on it?
That's
what I was thinking, too. I think that the frogs together are 4 foot tall and that they could ride the roller coaster.
Maybe instead of just a frog, we, like, put something kind of like human size, like a test dummy.
That's
type
a good
thing.
Idea.
See if there's any decapitations or like.
And Glenn slowly raises a finger and points to intern Doug.
No, not a person.
What do you mean?
But like, you know, some clothes and like, hey, you know, just put some stuff together.
I don't mean to be crass, but there's got to be like a spare corpse in this town somewhere, right? That we could put on the ride?
Hey,
just
Doug,
to see what happens?
Doug,
go ahead and get us a spare corpse,
can you get us like four coffees and like a spare corpse?
Yeah, how you want that corpse?
You know, not quite
intact,
rigor mortis.
Intact,
6'2".
Six. All right, let me go find
who's
one.
The tallest here.
Henry's probably like 5'8".
Glenn's probably like a good average 5'8".
All right, Daryl's 6. So we'll say, 6'2", just
six
make sure,
two,
like,
six
yeah,
two.
If anything okay. Gets the top of the head off.
All right, I'll be right back. So he leaves, and within 15 seconds, comes back with a fresh bleeding corpse with the top of its forehead sawn off. He goes, I found a guy that was like 6'4", but like I made do.
Was he,
so
wait,
you,
I love the enthusiasm, but was this guy alive when you found him?
Where do you want me to put him? Do you want him in the
yeah, front seat, Doug?
Front seat. Okay, cool.
Could you put his hands up so he could be like, woo?
Yeah, no problem. I mean, if we wait long enough, rigor mortis will set in and they'll stay there. If you want to test for like
his hands getting
taken
that.
Off or whatever.
Guys, can we do a quick dad huddle?
Dad huddle.
Hey guys, this is coming up on the performance review. I love this Doug guy, man.
No, I think he killed a man.
You know, I've had enough ethical quandaries and crises for one day, so I'm just going to assume that that man just died his own way, and then I'm going to stuff all my feelings down about it for a while. So that's how I'm planning on handling this
okay,
one.
I'm okay with that. We can do that for right now.
I love that Henry's character arc is like, I don't want to argue about what's right or wrong because it's uncomfortable.
You mean the character arc we all have as human beings?
Yeah,
Henry's going to pick his battles on this one. Or we're going to be here all week.
Oh, my question is, if he's 6'3 now with half of his head cut off.
6'2.
6'2. I mean, that guy could have been a pretty tall guy. That's just something to say.
You're right, Ron. He could have been a lot of things. A father, a husband.
Strap him in. Oh, okay, make sure we
so
do
So Doug straps him in. And
lowers the restraint bar.
Does he have to do the check thing where he's like pushing on the bar?
He's pulling back. He does the jiggering of the bar, whatever. It's good. He's like, we're good. And points
to
no one.
He gives a thumbs up.
He points to like a console that has buttons on it, but there's nobody there. And then the face comes out, says the whole lines again.
Now,
stuff.
Is that this Vin Diesel I've been hearing so much about?
And then the coaster zooms off, and then you hear all the noises. And when it comes back, you can see that the corpse is
fucking thrilled and ready to buy some t-shirts.
Alive again.
Well, on your way, whenever you guys leave on your way out, you're going to see a picture of the corpse that you can buy in the gift shop. But no, he is made of stone.
Whoa.
He comes back and he's not flesh anymore. He's stone.
Hey, if we had all gone on that ride, the podcast would have been over.
So there is a console, like I mentioned before, with some buttons on it that looks like it's probably not been used in a while.
Sounds like my Wii U, am I right?
Fuck.
I love that joke's like 4 years old.
That's really good.
Yeah,
no, that's like that perfect like sweet spot of like how like a year and a half, 2 years ago, it was funny to say my wife, like from Borat. Like you fucking found it for Wii U.
Holy shit.
So yeah, mainly there's that console there if you wanted to, like, I don't know, investigate it and see if there's...
Let's investigate the console.
Okay. So in there, you see written in hieroglyphics that only Doug can translate. So he picks it up and he reads it to you and he says, okay, so I almost...
So it's not a console from Revenge of the Mummy, the ride.
No, the console is from the Revenge of the Mummy, but inside the console there is a parchment with some like hieroglyphs on it. That he goes like, oh, I can read this.
Does it then have it like in French and German and like...
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So he goes, okay, so it looks like it's like directions or a warning or something.
Yeah.
Okay, so there's three. So the first one is phrase of the mummy. Second one is risk of the mummy. And the third one is bite of the mummy.
Bite of the money, phrase of the money.
Bite of the money. I like that. That's capitalism. My band.
I mean, maybe there's three. Like I was saying, I think there are three. Are there like three heads?
No, there's only the one head. Unfortunately, Glenn was correct, and you're thinking of Indiana Jones. But but there are several phases to the mummy roller coaster.
Oh. I want to investigate the button on the console and see if there's anything that stands out. It's like a way, maybe even like pausing the ride or turning the lights on, that sort of thing. They usually will have those for emergencies.
Okay, why don't you roll... It's 2020, which means it's the first time we get to have this conversation again of fuck, what is the difference between investigation and perception? But whichever one of those
would be investigation, I think.
Okay.
But I'd like a bonus for my Disney knowledge and watching all of the YouTube videos of all the different like Disney ride videos.
But you're at disadvantage. This is Universal Studios. You get disadvantaged.
It's true. You're right.
Okay,
so the first one was 18 plus 2, which was 20. The second one is 11 plus 2 is a 13.
Okay, so 13's not going to be enough to notice anything of you.
Shut the fuck up.
Got to be at least 15. You shouldn't have been a Disney boy.
So I'm going to go look at the button and investigate it.
Okay, you can roll without advantage or disadvantage.
I've never been to any theme park.
Then you should definitely have disadvantage.
I mean, yes, I have.
Too late. Damage done.
Oh, I got a natural 20.
Yeah, roll again. Doesn't matter.
Oh, with disadvantage.
Yeah, doesn't
this is tough.
Roll again. Roll again just to fucking throw it in his face.
That is a 7.
Yeah, nah.
You guys have never been to this roller coaster? Let me show you what's up. Let me take a look, and then I go investigate with my extreme knowledge.
It breaks after Beth looks at it. You can't just all keep stacking your rolls. If you have four chances,
wait,
at any
we broke
given thing,
it broke?
Console?
Yeah, I want to investigate the ruins of the console. Why did it break?
Yeah, go ahead and investigate with advantage now that it's broken.
Hope the ride doesn't break
good,
that easily.
Because that was a one. I got a 12.
Yeah. All right.
So can we just press buttons? Can we just press buttons?
Wait, I mean, it's broken now, so who cares?
Oh, okay.
So the ride won't work at all?
Dude, Anthony fixed
D&D. The ride works. So as you're having this conversation, the ride again resets. The body comes back. It's the same cart. It's still got the body on it. So you're seeing that whatever is keeping it running, it's not technology. This coaster console has nothing to do, seemingly, with the fact that this is still running.
Hmm. Hey, Henry, you've been doing some magic lately. Do we have, like, any way, like, it'd be good if when we send that corpse back through, I don't know, can we see through the eyes of anybody or, like...
You know, what we could do is, I have my phone. Like, we could record a video.
There we go.
Ooh.
That's why we got our phones.
That's very interesting.
Yeah.
Ooh. That's
all right.
Cool.
All right, but
make sure you put the flashlight on.
Okay, I'm going to put the flashlight on.
That's great, because he's rigor mortis in this phone, so he's holding a phone.
That's very funny.
I'm going to put the flashlight on, and I'm going to give one of you Mercedes O. Garcia's phone number. Don't go you misusing it, gentlemen.
Hey, Henry, I'll take that phone number.
Just feeding those fucking fans. Just drizzling it on
all
their
right,
tongue.
All right, Daryl, here's a Mercedes phone number.
555.
Fake.
6969.
6969, nice. Now, this is an iPhone 3, so it technically has video and a flashlight.
Okay, so you're going to have to roll to see if your phone's battery lasts. You have to get above a 4.
I got a natural one.
Your phone is dead.
Oh, beans. Oh, wow. Your phone, I gave you Mercedes' number.
Your phone dies in your hand.
Glenn, how about your phone?
My phone died too, man.
The only phones remaining are Ron's and Daryl's. And Daryl's is a Nokia that doesn't have a camera. No.
Okay, before we go off using my phone, I just want to talk to the corpse guy and see if I can, like, investigate him as a person, but then also just sort of get a sense of what happened to him, what he's seen. Hi. Good ride, huh? Okay, yeah, I'll put my phone on this thing.
Okay, so roll above a 6.
Oh, God.
Oh, shit. No, it's getting real.
15. Nice.
Okay, cool. Oh, my God.
All right, so your phone still works. Next time, you're going to have to beat a 7.
Yikes.
What phone do you have? Better than an iPhone 3?
I'll say I have an iPhone 4.
I feel like Ron has a Nokia N-Gage that he thinks is a phone. Ron has a Game Boy Color.
Yeah.
He's a Game Boy Color with a phone card attached to it.
Yep.
No, I think he has like an iPhone 4R.
Okay, cool. All right. Well, then, so if you want to,
Hey, record.
Okay. I'm going to take a quick selfie of us real quick. Throw up the peace sign, say, Mommy.
Mommy.
Daryl flexes.
Okay.
So Doug's in the back and he's like throwing up very offensive gang signs. You don't know any gangs here, but like you can tell he shouldn't have done that.
Okay, so then I put the phone in the
strong grip.
In the strong
great
rigor mortis-sized grip.
Yeah. It's made of stone now.
Okay, cool.
The coaster goes into the darkness. It comes
Shit, I just realized what's gonna happen.
Yeah, the phone's gonna be stone.
Fucking idiot.
Yeah.
We were so clever for a second.
Yeah, the phone comes. Coaster comes back, and now the phone is also stone. So you lost the phone.
Oh, no. Son of a bitch.
So
we have one phone.
You have one phone, and it's a.
Oh no, Ron! It looks like your phone bricked.
Fuck off. But I will say.
Oh, wait. That was the first sad joke of 2020.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Everybody.
Bring in the new year with some damage, guys.
Everybody take a D4 damage.
4 damage. Fuck you, Will.
4
Shall
damage.
Shall old acquaintance be forgot and roll psychic damage.
4.
Wow. That's the most lethal dad joke we've ever had. 2020 is off to a good start. World War III now this.
Achievement unlocked. All right, dads.
Okay, so I will say.
Play of the game.
That because you have. Because you had a cool idea with the phone. When it comes back, you can see frozen, like somebody chiseled it into
which
the screen.
Which scene is it? Is it Olaf when he comes to life?
I hate you so much for saying that.
Wow.
You see chiseled into the screen of the X iPhone. It took a picture of something, like words hovering in the air. The first word is death, and then there are 4 blanks after it. So that was the last thing this thing saw before it got
death?
Petrified.
Death, blank, blank, blank,
blank, blank, blank, blank. Death, blank, 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 blank.
Okay, so the first thing was phrase of the mummy, and then assuming that these are corpses and like a phone, I bet you they weren't able to say it. It feels like you gotta say something, and that's gotta be
stone.
To not be stone, yeah.
Oh, it's like you gotta go.
The phrase.
This is a tricky one, guys. This seems like.
I'm all for solving puzzles, but right now it seems like the only option is to kind of go on that thing, but like, you know.
Close our eyes.
So the.
There's a risk.
It's real risky, guys.
I'm not going to send them. We're going to have a stone Doug on our hands.
He did murder a man. Doug, you murdered that man,
no,
right?
No, he didn't. He found him like that. Doug, don't answer that question. Doug found a man and who just, he was missing the top
Doug's
of his head.
Doug's eyes are just very big and he's looking at Daryl and he's nodding slowly.
Okay, well, what are common phrases that start with death and end with four blanks?
Death becomes her.
Starring Meryl Streep. That's what I was thinking, too.
Meryl Streep. Why does
actually,
that
I'll,
name?
Okay, so I'll tell you the number of letters in each of them. How about that?
Okay.
Ooh. Oh, okay.
So the first blank is two letters. Mm-hmm. So it's death, beep, beep. The second blank is four letters.
Death is only the beginning.
Oh, shit.
That's my gut. That's what I'm thinking.
What's the third blank is three letters.
Fucking.
And the last blank
downtown.
Is however many letters the word beginning is.
I'm really good at escape rooms, guys. Death. Anybody who wants to do an escape room with Freddy, you just let me know. Freddy kills escape rooms. He doesn't by himself oftentimes because he likes to see
it's
how they're
phrase.
Designed.
So, yeah, you probably have to say, I like where your head's at, Glenn. I think it's like you have to see the phrase. What were the other ones? What did it say?
It was the risk of the mummy and the bite of the mummy. You know, I should say that Disney Imagineering would never let such sloppy ride design go out to public, but you know. Whatever.
Risk of the mummy, bite of the mummy. Well, all right, guys.
I think we just got go and strap it.
I'm ready to ride. We're going to have to think quick. We're going to have to be on our feet, you know?
Are we just going
to
yell, death is the only the beginning?
We'll say death is only the beginning. And that's got to be the one that turns you into stone because the man who happens to be dead, who we found dead, he can't talk. So that's probably what happened, right?
Doug, you want to come with us?
Doug, you're coming with us, man.
All right.
All right, man. If you're going to come anyways, we could always do it once with you. This is taking you on the right anyways. Why don't you go on and give it a shot?
You want me to go first?
I'm just saying if he's going to do it anyways.
Well, why don't you roll persuasion?
I mean, if he doesn't go, then, you know, like you guys have an even number on the coaster. That's great. You guys could go with four people.
I got a 14.
Why don't you roll with advantage since you're his boss and he's an intern?
Oh.
That's a 19.
Okay. So he goes, yeah, it sounds good.
I really feel like it's me.
But he's going to go anyways, right?
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. And he knows the phrase.
All right. All right, I'll see you guys in a bit, I guess.
Oh, no. Hey, look, he's all our interns. We don't have to do it. I'm just offering.
Wait. But we don't know what the other traps are. There's three things, right? I think we all have a better chance of making it through this thing if we work together.
I just want you to tell Benedict Cabbage Patch that I would have gone. I just want that on the record.
We definitely will. Okay.
Yeah, no,
well,
for sure.
Well, you can use this as a reference.
Okay, thank you.
To admit,
that's all I want.
I'm scared we're going
to
die.
Glenn is itching to get on because secretly he's a big Disney fan, but also he wants to taste the forbidden fruit of a Universal Studios ride. And this might be the only chance he can like justify doing it.
Okay, here's what we're going to do. If it looks like we're all going to die, Daryl, you pull out that orb and we all hold on to you and then we teleport to Grant.
Oh, fuck. I like that. Henry, good thinking.
God.
I pull the orb out and I hold it. I make the sign of the cross. I'm like, let's do this thing.
Real quick, how does the orb work again? It's just
so
like
the orb works when you activate it. Anybody touching it teleports to where the other orb is.
Jesus
so you would
fuck.
Go to wherever the hell Grant's orb
is. How do you
is.
Activate it by saying?
You activate it by going into the game and talking to the DM and saying you activate it.
Yeah, okay.
All right. So y'all get in?
All right.
I mean, it looks like, look, two up here, two up in those seats, and then two behind those seats. You know, there's really no room.
Thanks. Sorry, Ron. I'm just saying that I'm looking at the Revenge of the Mummy ride. It does look like it holds 16 people
per
ride.
Yeah, 16 people per coaster.
Okay.
Four rows of four.
Hey, Ron, but you can sit between us. It'll be right in the center. That's the safest spot.
Okay, cool. All right.
Does Ron get nauseous or does Ron just get scared?
I think Ron just gets scared.
Okay. Because otherwise,
okay,
I was going to have you roll constitution saving throws all the time to stop vomiting.
Ron, it's okay. We all get scared, and we're all scared right now. You know, this is a pretty scary thing we're doing. You know, it's, you know,
not scared. I'm a man. I'm a manly man. I'm really excited about this roller coaster. Wee!
Glenn sits down and crosses his arms and be like, let's just see what the so-called Imagineers at Universal got with their sleeves.
Well, everybody put a finger on the orb here. Including you, Doug, I guess. Doug's behind us, like, definitely. So he's, like, stretching over.
Okay. Yeah, he's stretching over to touch the thing. All right. Y'all buckled in?
Yes.
You check your thingies?
Yeah. I'm chanting, death is only the beginning, death is only the beginning, death
Great.
Is only the beginning.
So the coaster speeds off.
Ron starts screaming immediately. And it's not just screaming. It's like...
Beth backing away from the microphone had no effect on blowing it out.
And the music from the Stephen Sommers classic blockbuster The Mummy starts playing in the speakers in the seat back behind you.
Hey, Ron, you're going to feel air, but it's not real arrows.
There's somebody airing on me. There's air on me.
They're not real arrows. Don't worry.
Okay.
So you come and then
Hell yeah, you come.
So you're zooming left and right and taking corkscrews and really like, and as far as indoor coasters go, it's not a bad one. And then all of a sudden it comes to a sudden stop and you see a very large stone snake exit from the wall and you hear a voice say,
"Speak the phrase of the mummy."
And you've been chanting,
Death is only the beginning.
Literally, it can't even get out of the sentence, "Speak the phrase of the mummy," because by the time it says "speak the fret," you said, "Death is only the beginning." He goes,
"Yeah."
and recedes back into the walls. And the roller coaster once again speeds forward and does a loop. Actually, there's no loop.
It's not accurate.
No, Universal rides suck. So there's no loop.
And does some cool twists and turns and stuff. And then it once again stops. And you see nothing at first, just total darkness. But then on the left side of the coaster, a spotlight hits a hole in the wall that looks to be big enough for your arm. A voice says,
"Will you take the risk of the mummy?"
And inside the hole, if one of you would like to roll a perception check, maybe you'll see what's inside.
Hot dice.
In my head, I was on the left side of the coaster since I said Ron's in the middle, so I feel like I'm right next to it.
Sure.
Glenn is actually taking notes about all the things he would change in the ride. So he's actually like, oh, okay, hold on.
I got 18.
So with an 18, you can see that inside is a shield. If anybody would like to, roll Arcana.
Ooh, okay. All right. 11 total.
Shit, you know, I rolled another 18.
I got 19 total.
Whoa.
I got a 17.
Everybody but Glenn can tell.
Because
that
he's taking notes about how
the taking notes, can tell that there is something magical about this shield. But with your 18 perception, you can also see some snakes in that same hole.
You know, do we feel like it's going to kill us if we don't do it? Is that the risk?
I mean, it's the risk. We got to take a risk, right? I don't want to die.
I've got an idea.
I shove my arm in.
I've got an idea. Wait.
What are your Ron's idea
all right,
first?
All right, it's too late. He did it. Immediately, your meaty arm going inside, the snakes like and sink their fangs into you. So roll three separate constitution saving throws. Try to beat an 11 on your constitution saving throws.
I got a pretty good constitution, guys.
Yeah, you're a beefy boy. You're the perfect person for this to happen to.
20, 19, because I got plus 3. And then that was a 15, 18. 20, 19, 18.
You succeeded your constitution saving throw, which means you only take half damage. So each of those snakes does 3d6 poison damage. So you're going to roll 9d6 poison damage and halve that. And that's how much damage you take.
Jesus.
I got 29.
So you took 14 HP of damage. So you have been poisoned. Poison means that you have disadvantage on all combat and ability checks until you get it cured or take a long enough rest for it to go away. You now have the Shield of Protection by Jake Nolan.
Would have been useful a couple seconds ago.
Yeah.
So this was sent in by Jake Nolan. Thank you, Jake.
Thanks, Jake.
You can tell there's some magic in it, but you're going to have to beat a DC 20 Arcana check to find out what that magic is. Or you could just put it on.
Guys, I took the risk and I got the shield.
You're looking a little peaky there, Daryl.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I'm poisoned. I'm feeling pretty sick.
Suck the venom out.
I put my arm out in front
of Henry. Suck the venom out.
I put my arm out in front of Ron. Well, Ron's right next to me.
That's okay, true. Yeah, I try to suck it out.
All right, go ahead and roll Constitution to see if you also get poisoned. Because that's not a real thing you should do in real life.
No,
if you get bitten.
Wait, really?
Yeah, no. You shouldn't do it.
13.
So what's your modifier? Is there a plus something on
it?
Yeah,
plus one.
Plus one. Okay, so it's 14. No. You don't take the damage, but you are now poisoned. So you have disadvantage on combat.
Guys,
right?
That reminds me. I took a survival wilderness course, and you're not supposed to suck the poison out of someone's... Oh, you did it. Oh, sorry. I'm in front of them, so I can't see
what
they're
doing. What do you do with poison, Henry?
You get poisoned. Unfortunately, like, I didn't have any spells prepped for this. Like, you know?
That's like what your liver's for, man.
Yeah, so, you know, just, you know, you're going to be poisoned for a little bit. It doesn't seem like... Usually, really bad snake bites, like, if it's going to kill you, I think by now you'd be in a lot worse shape, so I think you should be okay.
Hey, so I'm getting like a big old magic sort of vibe from this shield, and like I feel like I did my part. I took that risk. I put my arm in there before you guys could say anything. That felt pretty risky.
Yeah, because I actually had a really good idea.
Yeah, I was curious about that myself.
I was going to send in one or three rats because snakes love rats, and so they'd be distracted by the rats, and then we'd grab the shield ourselves. But as for the shield itself, sure, I could put it on. I actually don't have many hit points left, but I could definitely try putting it on.
Look, I maybe it's just me being woozy, but I feel like there's some judgment that maybe I shouldn't put my arm in there right away, and I admit It was a little hasty. I'm a little nervous, but it said that we had to be risky. It was a little risky, but I feel like maybe I did that risk. Maybe somebody else can look at this shield. It's pretty magical. It feels magical. Henry, you want to look at it?
Yeah, let me take a look at it first. So I have to beat a DC 20? So yeah. I have to hit like a natural 20, basically.
No, you might have a plus something to Arcana, right? Because you're like a magic boy.
No, but that's intelligence, and druids are dumb.
Oh, no. Do any of you have high intelligence?
I got plus 2 Arcana. I could give it a shot.
I've got plus 4 Arcana.
Oh, go for it. Yeah. You have plus... Oh,
I don't know.
Because Ron dabbled in some weird, freaky shit.
Ron is emotionally intelligent.
Nope.
Glenn also is a no.
All right. Well, then you're not going to know what it is until you, unless you bring it to an NPC who might be able to identify it for
you. Doug.
Doug.
Yeah, what's up?
What's the deal with this shield, dude?
Hey, Doug, what's your arcana?
It's not high. I'm an intern. my intelligence is not too... Actually, no, wisdom would not be super high for just doing this work for free.
He probably was super overqualified. Yeah, he's probably got a PhD or something.
Like, let's say he's really intelligent and really not wise because he's hanging out with you guys.
So
he's got
masters in philosophy or something.
Yeah, exactly. art history. So he's got a plus 5 to Arcana, let's say.
Oh, that's nice of you.
Ooh, you rolled a 2. Sorry. He's like, yeah, no, I don't know. Sorry, guys.
Well, can't you just give your best guess, Doug?
My best guess.
Fake it till you make it, Doug.
Yeah, man.
What do you think it does?
On our team, we're all about positivity and contributing to the group. Doug, what do you contribute?
I was willing to go on this alone and save you the trouble of getting stung by or beaten by a bunch of snakes.
That's a good point, Doug. We'll talk about it when we grab lunch next week.
I'll be late by about 20 minutes and then act like I wasn't.
Seems like this roller coaster's been stopped for a suspiciously long amount of time.
Yeah, so
are you putting the shield on? Or
let's hold on to it for now and then get it inspected, I think.
So the roller coaster speeds off again.
So I did it.
And when it comes
up, I did it. I solved the second puzzle. I'm feeling pretty sick.
And Doug's like, I don't know why, but I kind of feel like the risk was you could take the shield or not take the shield. I feel like the roller coaster would have kept going no matter what. But I'm glad you did it.
Thanks.
So the roller coaster once again halts to a stop after a bunch of thrilling twists and turns. And on the walls around you, you can see painted scarab beetles, like black little scarab beetles. And you see some holes in the wall.
Don't put your hands in there, guys.
Little tiny ones, too small for your holes.
Don't put anything else in there.
Ew. And you remember Bite of the Mummy, and you hear through the speakers behind you the wonderful soundtrack to the Stephen Sommers movie The Mummy fades away, and you hear the skittering of scarabs getting closer and closer.
How many holes around us?
There's 2 holes on either side.
Guys, we have anything we can plug these things up with or what?
Oh.
So I'm going to give you 60 seconds to come up with a plan.
Okay, maybe the shield on one?
Put the shield over some of them. I'm going to cast Entangle and shoot Grasping Weeds into the holes.
We can make the rocky corpse hold the shield against one of the walls.
Lean the hands up so it's just club blocking one of them.
All right, I'm going to cast Entangle, so I do that.
Does it say what the radius of it is, like the size of it?
It sprout from the ground in a 20-foot square.
20 feet! Okay, so you completely covered one wall in your vines then.
Okay, shasha!
All right. So the other,
we drag the stone corpse over to the other one and like lean him against so his hands up in the, you know, raise the roof pose, cover up one of the holes entirely.
All right. Roll me. Anybody can roll me a strength check with advantage because you're all trying to do it. Actually, well, no, you'd have to unbuckle your. You'd have to unbuckle yourself from your restraints.
I mean, how many holes are on the? I mean, is it worth moving the stone guy to cover one hole?
I mean, we need to figure out what. Give me something then, Matthew.
How many is the? How many
two
holes?
Other holes?
There are
on the
2
other
on the other side.
Oh, just 2 holes.
Yeah, just 2.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Let's do that on the shield.
You got to undo your restraint, which you don't have to check for. You just do it, but then you're gonna have to roll strength to move the guy.
Oh, I shouldn't do it because I'm sick. Okay. Well, I got natural 20 on the first one. Second one, I got natural 20. Whoa! I shit you not.
20,
holy
baby.
Shit.
Oh, man.
That's 20 plus 3.
Okay. All right. So
I go, yeah, describe I just what lift happened. Him. I scream and I don't even take off my restraints. So this is my screaming. I just rip out of them and I go, oh, God, I feel so sick. Now I know what Grant feels like on these coasters. And then I pick up the stone guy and I kind of just like stumble over the 3 of you. I'm like, sorry, excuse me, coming through. And then I put the stone guy up against the hole.
Okay, awesome.
So I go, Ron, put the shield in the other hole.
Wait, no, the shield's important. I rip off my t-shirt, revealing a set of rippling abs, and I bundle up the t-shirt and plug up the hole.
How big is the hole? How big is your t-shirt?
You said small holes.
Oh, I guess that's
small.
True.
Yeah, yeah.
He said dick size holes.
It's enough to play. He did not say that.
Yeah.
No, what happened is he said tiny holes.
Oh, yeah.
And Freddie heard dick size
holes. Dick size holes, yeah. God.
Hey, what?
Hey guys, it's Glenn. Anthony. It's Anthony, your daddy master. Don't size shame. It's fine.
Glenn, dude, you look good, man.
Yeah, work out.
That's like DILF. That's the sort of body I think Carol wants me to have. That's like the DILF body.
Was Glenn on DILFs of Disneyland? Like, for real, though?
Whoa.
Why don't you,
Why
don't you roll charisma to see if you were on Dilfs of Disneyland?
Oh, you walked into the wrong room, motherfucker.
You walked into the wrong room, motherfucker. Oh, charisma gives me, that's a plus 6 on the saving throw modifier. On an 18, so that's a 24.
Jesus. You're not the focus of the first Dilfs of Disneyland, but you were like in the background of the very first Dilfs of Disneyland post. And then later on, they actually got one of you and it's about you.
Oh,
you were the Daily Dilf for one day.
Wearing like Mickey ears and like just like, why is this guy at Disneyland alone?
Oh, fucking alone. This guy who has a kid.
Wait. You didn't go with Nick? You go to Disneyland by yourself and you don't bring your child?
He was in school that day, dude.
That's the best time to go.
That's the best time to go. Hold on, man. He's got to get his education.
We're going to Disneyland on Wednesday. Can you do that? No, I have school. Saturday? Nah, I'm busy Saturday.
Saturday sucks, dude. The lines suck on Saturday,
dude. He's the worst
fucking
person.
It takes like 40 minutes to get Dole Whip on Saturday. I'll bring you some Dole Whip,
though. What a garbage. And it's melted by the time you get to
him. As if fucking Glenn doesn't have like a cooler.
That's true, yeah.
He doesn't have a stroller that with a fake baby in it to get him in the front of lines. He doesn't need to. Doesn't need to on.
So Glenn is shirtless now. So you hear the skittering, and then you just hear like you just hear air, little puffs of air.
I told you guys it's just air
coming out of the wall.
Fuck off.
Oh my god.
But then you do actually hear the skittering of real. I was setting up a little double blind, but no, you've successfully blocked it off. A bunch of real scarabs try to come out, but they get stymied. You see them trying to strain against your vines, and they can't quite make it. And they come up against the stone, and they're stymied by the stone. And they're beginning to chew through the shirt, but you plugged it up well enough that basically the roller coaster zooms off once again, and you've completed the 3 trials of the mummy.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Dungeons & Dice is brought to you this week by Rocket Money. It's time to take off into the stratosphere. That graph of your net worth is going to the moon, baby. Because you want the easiest way to do that? By canceling all the freaking subscriptions you forgot about. Or like ones that you paid for twice. Didn't even realize it.
Or the other 2 subscriptions you didn't even know were there.
That's right. Nearly 75% of people have subscriptions they've forgotten about. Before I started using Rocket Money, I was like, I got a lean subscription pack. I'm not overpaying for stuff. And I took one look and I was like, not only am I paying for Funimation doesn't even exist today. It's merging. So I'm like,
this is the second Rocket Money ad you've come at Funimation. Really upset about this.
I realize I'm playing for Xbox Live. I haven't even turned on my Xbox in like 3 years. Yeah. I was like, what am I even doing? I don't even know if you still need to pay for it. I don't even know how that works.
This is a subscription universe that we're living in between streaming service, fitness apps, delivery service. Thanks to Rocket Money, I'm no longer wasting money on the ones I forget about.
I'm still paying the fee at the cemetery for dead relatives I don't even visit anymore.
Rocket Money, here's what Rocket Money is. It's a personal...
Dig them up, I don't care.
It's a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills so you can grow your savings. You get all of your subscriptions in one place, and if you see something you don't want, Rocket Money can just help you cancel it with a few taps. And they'll even try to negotiate your bills for you by up to 20%. All you have to do is submit a picture of your bill and Rocket Money takes care of the rest. They'll deal with the customer service. They'll call. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has saved a total of $500 million in canceled subscriptions, saving members up to $740 a year when you use all of the app's features. So stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/daddies. That's rocketmoney.com/daddies. rocketmoney.com/daddies. Dungeons & Dice is brought to you this week by Pretty Litter. Springtime vibes are in the air. And when you bring in beautiful flowers that are blooming, like I have in my vase in the kitchen, I want to smell those flowers, not my cat poop.
You know what's in the air is springtime flowers and not dust from the litter.
Ooh. Yeah. Wow. Nothing beats Pretty Litter's ability to instantly trap odor. It's ultra-absorbent. It's lightweight, low dust. 1 6-pound bag works for up to a month. And the crystals, dog. The crystals change color, and they indicate early signs of potential illness in my gato, like urinary tract infections, kidney issues, a lot pissed up.
I mean, that would make sense.
On brand. Who's the piss king of podcasts? Yeah. I want to advertise Pretty Litter on there.
And if that wasn't enough, Pretty Litter ships free right to my door. You never run out. And you know, the health monitoring is great. I can just go in, I take one look, and I'm like, you pissing good.
You good at pissing.
Pretty cats deserve pretty litter, and all cats are pretty.
So yeah,
all cats deserve pretty litter.
Pretty litter is amazing. You have to try it. Go to prettylitter.com.
You don't.
Dad,
your cat tries it.
You don't.
I mean, if you're curious.
The plumbing's out. If your toilet's broken.
Yeah.
Play on.
This isn't the 1950s. Whatever you want to do in your own home as a consenting adult, you're free to do.
You know, in the Kinsey reports, he said that actually a surprising number of adults pee in their kitty litter. Yeah,
yeah. Go to prettylitter.com/daddies to save 20% on your first order. That's prettylitter.com/daddies to save 20% on your first order. prettylitter.com/daddies. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
It continues through the darkness and then slowly comes to a stop. And some lights turn on beneath you. You can see into the gully works of the roller coaster. And far down beneath you, which is, it's accessible via a ladder, but if you had fucked up the scarabs thing, you probably would have dropped from like panicking and stuff. But basically you can see two ladders on either, one on either side of the roller coaster that lead downward. And down there, you can see, why don't you roll me perception? I'll tell you how much you see.
Ooh, natural birth 20.
I got a 2.
I got a 20 as well.
I got a 10.
A lot of 20s.
Okay, well, I got a 14 plus 6.
Great. You see that there are three mummies down there, actually. There is one that is very tall and skinny and wearing a skirt.
Oh, man.
There is another. It's wearing a skirt, almost like they stopped bandaging this person at the waist for some reason. There's one that's kind of smaller and stocky. And there's one that's very curvaceous. And all three of them have long gray hair that kind of comes out of the top of their mummy bandages.
Ron, what's going on?
What's up, Ron?
Yeah, Ron, you're having a reaction. What's up?
I'm having a reaction because I don't know about you guys, but I've been dreaming about three people that shape-wise look a lot like these mummies, but like they're purple.
Whoa, because we see them in their dreams. Because we're in some we dream, so maybe they dream. And maybe like this is their real, could this be the lair that they've been in this whole time? I suggest we proceed with caution, gentlemen.
So down there, you also can see a, what's a good brand of suitcase that like a normal human being would
see? Toomey.
A Samsonite. You see three suitcases down there. You see a Samsonite, a Toomey, and another.
I
was way off. God, that joke's fucking good. You see three suitcases down there. One of them has kind of popped open and you can see inside of it some gold. And,
Are these mummies moving around?
The two smaller ones, the two non-curvaceous ones, are kind of just standing there idly. The curvaceous one is kind of ambling around randomly, kind of like a zombie.
Whoa, mummies.
Do you think these are the purple people?
You can also see that they're holding things, but you're too far up to see what they are. If you get closer, you can do another perception roll to see if you can tell what they're holding.
Here's a thought. I could Hulk out again, and Glenn's ripping it. He could probably help me out here.
I don't think we should just jump the gun. I think we should approach with caution, but do you know what I mean? I don't know.
The car stopped.
The car is completely stopped. It's going to be stopped for as long as you want to come up with a plan. So because you succeeded in all the trials and stuff like that, you basically can plan this out however you want to, and you'll get advantage if you try to like surprise them. Basically, you get a free surprise attack if you just attack them. Whatever
sounds
you do,
like we're getting into a combat, so it might be nice to like have like a.
Well, no, I'm just saying if that's something you'd want to do.
So like the mummies, they're like covered in bandages, right?
Yeah, I got this oil from this jug. We could just pour it down there and just light the whole thing on fire and let it burn out. You know what I mean?
That's kind of what I was wondering.
Good idea. I mean, we should probably check who they are, maybe.
Yeah, I just want to make sure, like, look, this is a weird world. There's a lot of crazy stuff. For all we know, these are people that fell off the ride and they need just help, you know?
Okay, well, what about this? I don't know if you guys have ever had, like, a bandage or a
cast. Now I understand the purpose of a DM screen.
Anything, but here's the thing. What if we just pour water on them?
Oh, because the bandages will, like, get all soaked and slough off?
Yeah, and it'll be all nasty. Nobody wants to live like that, so they'll either surrender or,
I got an idea. I don't want to get into a combat where we could get hurt. I'm poisoned. We've been in a lot of combat recently. How about we just get ready to take them out, and then we double-check who they are before we do it?
Sounds great.
Somebody gets in position. Glenn pours the gasoline all over them, and then, like, Henry, maybe we tie you up on a rope and we hold you. And you drop down and you say
like a drop bear.
And you drop, yeah, like a drop
Mission
bear.
Impossible.
Yeah, and you drop down with like a lit match. You say, hey, who are you guys? I'm going to light you on fire. And then depending on what they say, we pull you back up or you.
Now,
talk to
what
them.
I don't like about that is what if they attack me and then I drop the match and then
and
like
we're going to pull you up and
then,
like
but then like a whole wall of flame scorches me.
No, it's not that much fire. I mean, I'll do it.
Here's what I'm going to say.
If you're scared, I'll do it. I can do it. Let's do it. I'm probably going to die anyways. I'm poisoned.
All right, Daryl, settle down for a second.
Daryl gets so morose when he's feeling sick.
When he's Daryl's feeling poisoned.
Daryl's one of those guys that when he has a cold, he's like, I'm going to die. I'm going to be like this forever, Carol. Please, yep, make me soup.
Let me do, because we're pretty far up, but I bet they can hear us, right? Like, how far down are they?
They're about 20 feet down.
Is there any way leading out of, so if we're looking down and sort of like, what does it look like? Is there exits that they can go through or like, or is it just like one contained area?
It's basically just a well, yeah.
Okay, cool.
Oh, sorry. And also down there, you can see the bodies of a bunch of other people who tried to get there and kill them. Like you see a bunch of Neverwintrians who are down there who have their flesh is falling off them. Maybe like they got eaten by scarabs. Some
buried
of them
the lead there a little bit.
I have so many things that I forget which ones are men. Some of them look like they got eaten by scarabs. Some of them look like they got poisoned by snakes. Some of them look like they were stoned. Like all the people that Boreana said.
Oh, it's all the detritus from the people who failed the test. So we don't know if that. All right, I just go. Hey!
Wait. No, before you do that, I'm going to bardic inspiration you and then be like, hey, don't worry, Henry. You got the touch.
Okay.
You got the power.
I go, hey.
The curvy mummy looks up at you and cocks its head slightly to the left and then just starts to moan.
What's your view on murder?
What's your deal?
So give me another perception check, Henry.
A 10.
Okay, so that's not going to do it. If you get closer, I'll let you go again and this roll will be easier.
Guys, I'm going to go down a little bit. There could be other stuff down there that we don't want to burn or destroy. I'm just going to climb down this ladder a little bit. And I've got a rope. So I tie one end of the rope to the...
Wait, can I try something really quick?
Yeah.
I spit a loogie down there at one of them.
Roll dexterity. Are you trying to hit one of them?
Yeah.
Okay, which one?
The one that's right below me. So the small one that's looking up at us.
Okay, the curvy one. Okay, so there's the stocky one, the curvy one, and the tall one.
I get disadvantage, right? Ooh, that was a 15.
You hit her directly in the forehead. And she doesn't react at all. She's just busy moaning, just like,
seems like
reaching
situation.
Up at Henry. Just,
and it feels like it's not a person.
Yeah.
I'd be pretty mad if a loogie hit me on the forehead.
Yeah, all right.
I'm going to uncork the oil and just sprinkle
all right,
it down.
Let's see how they react
there.
To the oil.
Okay, so still no reaction to the oil. They're just, and they're doing this, and they're moving their hand. So this is good. As they're moving their hands, and you're closer, so go ahead and roll perception again.
Okay.
It's like our kids. Okay. It's like goofy.
God, I got a fucking 9.
There's something white in one hand and something black in her other hand.
There's something.
If you get closer, you can see more.
Okay, this could be something valuable down there. I don't want to burn it all.
Okay, close are you, though, to them?
How close am I right
now? Let's say you're 10 feet up.
So I'm 10 feet up.
And she slowly starts ambling toward the ladder. Okay. Like, as if to, like, maybe she's going to try to climb up.
Oh, I got it. Okay. So I'm going to cast. I'm like, hey, Henry, look away.
All right, I look away.
So I'm going to cast Hypnotic Pattern, which is a third level illusion that I can do. Now I'm going to explain this as Glenn can finger tut.
What?
What?
Finger tutting? Like... You know, when you like at the end of, you know, like this sort
no
of thing.
No one knows what you've done. Especially our book.
Congratulations. You have outdone my word puzzle as the worst thing to possibly reference on a podcast.
I got you, Freddy. Step up 3D.
Step up 3D. The
finger
end.
Dancing is what you're trying to explain.
Hold on. It's called finger tutting. Hold on. Just give me a second.
We're on the same wavelength.
I'm just going to.
This is finger dancing?
At the end of step up 3D, this guy does like cool
I'm literally pulling
dancing.
Up a video. It's
oh
like,
my gosh.
Like this sort of thing.
Yes, that sort of thing, people at home.
Everyone just Google finger
that's
tutting.
That's pretty cool.
That's
pretty fucking
that
cool.
That is fucking hypnotic. Man, this is so Glenn much better than Step Up 2 the streets.
Okay, so anyway, look up finger tutting. It's great. It'll drop down a whole YouTube rabbit hole of fantastic videos of people with extraordinary talent. But Glenn can finger tut.
Okay.
So that is going to be a twisting pattern that weaves through the air inside a 30-foot cube. The creatures in the air who sees the pattern must make a wisdom saving throw.
Okay.
On a failed save, the creature becomes charmed for the duration. While charmed by the spell, the creature is incapacitated and has a speed of 0.
Nice.
The spell ends for an affected creature if it takes any damage or if someone else uses an action to shake the creature out of its stupor.
So what's the wisdom saving throw it has to make?
It is a wisdom saving throw of 14.
So it just stops dead in its tracks and like lowers its hands and looks up at your finger tutting, transfixed, and you're going like, whoa.
And also I make this noise when I do it. I'm like,
That's yikes.
That's horrible.
Wow.
That's horrible. That's a crime.
And not to a rhythm, just random noises.
The noises you make snap her back out of it, and it's like you never did it. No, that's horrible.
But she's holding the two things?
Yeah, so she's still holding the two things, but now she's lowered them down to her sides, and she's looking up in awe.
She's really incapacitated. You can get really close.
I'm going to go as close as I can.
Okay, so give me a stealth with advantage to not get the attention of the other two.
Remember, you have a +8 because I gave you the touch, the power, Sam.
A +8?
You have a 1d8 that you can throw for any ability check, attack roll, or saving throw. You can do it after you've seen the roll, but before knowing the outcome.
I can add a d8.
You can choose to add a 1d8 to that.
That's the two pyramids asked to ask, right?
Correct. So hold on, what number did you get?
I got a 9.
Okay.
Oh, wait, well, plus let me see my stealth. What do I have for stealth? +2, so 11. So
you
I should.
Want an yeah. Apple, yeah.
All right, I got a 13.
The two mummies sort of turn around and see you, and they start very slowly ambling toward you. You can tell that the curvy mummy that was looking up at you is sort of more put together and less decomposed than the other two.
She's like the queen mummy.
And the other two are kind of like, they're a little bit more rotting. They're a little bit, they have a harder time moving around, essentially. Mm-hmm. So you have basically a turn of action before they reach you. And that's assuming you stayed completely still.
Okay. I'm going to grab what's in her hands?
In her left hand, you can see a piece of paper, seemingly some sort of white piece of paper. Something's written on the end of it, but you can't see a lot of it because she's holding onto the middle of it. But you can see the letter R is just barely visible on the letter.
Okay.
In her other hand is a gun.
A gun?
What's down there, Henry?
She's got a letter and a gun. I feel like the letter's going to have more information for us. I'm going to go for the letter first.
Guns seem kind of redundant at this point.
I can turn into a bear. I'm going to go for the letter, and I'm going to try to tug it out and replace it with this CVS receipt that's been in my pockets the entire time.
You could probably wrap the whole CVS receipt around the mummy, though. At least cut it in half, man.
I use the CVS receipt to disguise my face like a mummy to dupe the other two mummies into thinking I'm a mummy.
That's great. Roll deception.
I got a 10.
Yeah, it's not good
but
enough.
But wait, I have inspiration from my dad joke.
Oh, yeah, you can roll again.
I'm not going to blow it on this. That's stupid. Okay, so I give the note a tug.
Okay.
To try to pry it loose.
So she's incapacitated, so the note just comes out very easily.
Okay.
And so...
Whoa, Anthony has pulled out an actual letter from his bag of tricks.
My favorite.
Wow.
And he's handing it over
to
Will.
He's handing
it
to Will.
You don't have to read this aloud if you don't want to. It's up to you.
Okay. Do I have time to read it before the mummies get me?
You can, like, move around pretty quickly. If you want to be just, like, weirdly sort of dodging and juking them, like, playing Resident Evil.
Can you just climb back up and read it once it gets up here?
I can just
kind of
scooch back up
the ladder.
Yeah,
you can climb back up. You definitely have time to climb back up.
Okay. All right. I scooch back up the ladder a little bit. Like, guys, I'm opening the note right now.
Should we light the place on fire now?
Henry, hurry up. I'm running out of moves. I'm just cycling through the old ones.
What the fuck?
Will is reading a note.
What the fuck? Oh, no. Oh, shit. Oh, shit.
Hey, Henry, should we light this place on fire?
Henry just stares in shock, and he's just static on the ladder, and his hand starts trembling, and tears start streaming down his face.
Well, hey, guys.
I'm going to climb down there and help you back up.
Henry's not listening to any of you.
Okay, if one of you wants to pull him up, you're going to have to just, you know, like, do something to either snap him out of it or physically yank him up.
Henry!
What's a good way to make him snap out of things? I just snap at him.
The mummies
Henry,
down below are
Henry
slowly
goes lightheaded and lets go of the ladder and falls to the ground.
Okay, so you fall into the arms of the other two mummies that are at the bottom of the ladder.
As he's falling, Daryl leaps from the coaster and, like, leaps towards the ladder. Like, he wants to get, like, 10 feet down the ladder and, like, grab on. My plan is just to get down there as quickly as possible.
Okay, cool. So roll acrobatics to see if you can land without taking any damage. You're going to have to beat, like, a 19.
Motherfucker, I do get a 19.
Really?
Yeah, I just roll an 18.
Oh, wow. Okay, cool. So how do you land?
I leap off the coaster and I, like, fireman pose it where, like, I barely grab both sides of the ladder and I just slip down.
Okay.
And then at the end, I grab it and I backflip off of it.
Fucking
cool. I put my 2 feet on, I backflip and I land, like, right where Henry landed.
Okay, so the two mummies sort of turn to look at you. One of them turns to face you, the stocky one. Roll perception.
Holy shit, you guys. You guys.
I got a 20. I got 19 plus 1.
20. With a 20, you can see.
Oh, no.
He's getting. Oh, my God.
You can see that there is a letter tucked into her bandages. And it's halfway in, halfway out. And the first three letters are D-A-R.
Okay. I'm going to, as I landed, I think I'm going to invoke rage.
Don't hurt them.
Okay, I'm not gonna hurt them, and I grab the letter while like kicking them off. Like I'm trying to like grab it and then like push them away.
Okay,
at the same time.
So if you're trying to do two things, let's say you're doing it at disadvantage. So give me, let's do dexterity because you're kicking them and grabbing a thing at the same time.
I got 12.
Okay, so with the 12, you manage to grab a hold of the letter, but it grabs hold of your wrist, and you can kick it away, and it like falls to its knees. So you're kind of just almost still holding it up, but it's holding onto your wrist, and it's got you.
Hey, so, Daryl,
Ron and Glenn,
hand?
Would you want to do anything?
First, I turn to Doug, and I'm like, you know, not only those guys can do cool things, I'm a part of the team, and I do cool things, too. So if you want anybody to, like, show you the ropes or whatever,
yeah,
being, like, on this team, okay, I'm going to actually just climb down this ladder. And, Doug, if you could watch the phones for me, and then watch for any incoming packages.
I'll hold your calls.
Okay, thank you.
So you go down, and the tall, skinny one turns to look at you. Now you roll perception.
I got a 13.
She's holding in her hand a letter that says Ron.
Hi, can I have that?
Roll persuasion.
Natural 20.
Fuck off.
I see that works and I go.
Can I read it?
If you want to.
I see that works. I go, oh. Hey, can I have mine as well?
right, Beth?
Beth is wide mouth right now.
Oh,
this is
God.
very, very
Beth
good.
Beth is currently holding my favorite thing I've ever written.
I'm going to, oh my God. Wow.
All right, Henry.
Hey, what's going on down there, guys?
Glenn, you need to get down here right now.
All right. I ask for it as well, saying that it works for.
You don't have disadvantage. You can go ahead and roll persuasion.
In that case, without the disadvantage, I got 19 minus 1. That's 18. Anthony's bringing me a letter. And it says Daryl.
Hey, guys, are we good?
Glenn,
should we just...
Glenn,
huh? What?
Come here.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Daryl drops to the floor, and he's just crying.
What the fuck is going on, man?
I put a hand on Daryl's shoulder, and with the note trembling in my hands, I read, "My lion, I am so sorry. If you are reading this, we're beyond saving. 10 years after your disappearance, my witch-sewing feminist theory book club circle located a massive amount of energy coming from this theme park ride. I intended to investigate alone, but Carol and Samantha insisted on joining me. We stuffed our suitcases full of things that might help us find you, and we headed to Universal Studios Hollywood. While in line for the ride, we fell through a portal of the most brilliant violet color. My heart swelled knowing I might see you again after all this time. Might see our two beautiful boys. But we kept falling for years. This
what?
Pyramid and everything in it has been falling for the past 10 years. This vortex swimming with magic. None of us have ever needed to sleep or eat since we fell through. But we are losing ourselves. This vortex feels as if it's siphoning away something integral to us. Our essence? Our minds? My crystals seem to have protected me from the worst effects of it. I knew fucking crystals worked, by the way. But I still feel something is changing, something I cannot stop. There is nothing I can tell you that you don't already know. If I do not get to see you again while I am still myself, I can at least draw comfort from the fact that I have left nothing unsaid between us. You know my heart as completely as I know yours. I wish I could be with you to see this through to the end. Tell the boys I love them. Te amo, Milion. Hasta la próxima vida, Mercedes O. Garcia. April 20th, 2040.
I crawl over to the mummy and through my tears, I try to unravel the bandage on the head.
I'm going to hold it back from that.
Whoa. Yeah, are you sure you want to do that?
I mean, that's what I'm trying to do.
Daryl, just no.
That's Carol, though.
Yeah, I know, but you don't want to look at her like that, man.
That's Carol.
It's Carol. Yeah,
but if it's her, we got to do something.
It's okay. We'll do something. We're going to do something. We're going to figure this out. We're going to figure this out, man.
I fold the letter and I just put it in my pocket.
Ron, how you doing, champ?
I sit down crisscross applesauce. With the letter in my hand, I just keep reading it silently to myself, and you guys can only see my lips moving. And then I stare at one of the mummies as tears move down my face. Then you catch what I'm repeating. Ronnie, you are enough just as you are, Samantha.
the mummies sort of see,
they were mommies
they see you reading the letters, and there is an exhalation of relief that exits their bodies, and with one big sigh of utter contentment they collapse to the ground and they stop moving.
Glenn goes, now y'all know why I fucking stick to Disney rides.
Oh my God.
Dungeons and Daddies is Matt Arnold as Daryl Wilson, Anthony Birch as our DM, Will Campos as Henry Oak, Beth May as Ron Stampler, and myself, Freddie Wong, as Glenn Close. Additional recording this week by Chad Ellis. Theme song and outro is a little ditty called All Right by Maxton Waller. Thank you this week to Jake Nolan for submitting an item we use in this episode. He gets to submit names and items because he's a Patreon supporter. And you know who else gets to do that? Just some folks by the name of Freya Matheson, Charlie, Spencer Lonefight, Kyle Yonke, Andrew Alewine, Renu Shirali, Andrew Gillen, Rachel, Andrew Duck, and Dylan Ott. Thank you so much, folks. For just $5 a month, you can get in on item and character name submissions, an entire post-recording podcast we do called Talking Dad, and a whole lot more. Will and I are currently working on the next stretch goal, which will be available to patrons at all levels, which is going to be the long-awaited Henry Oak rap album. We've been talking about some truly ridiculous ideas for this, so please check out our Patreon at patreon.com/dungeonsanddads and see if anything tickles your fancy. And you know what? Maybe nothing does tickle your fancy. Maybe you want to be a freeloader. Don't let me tell you how to live your life. Gosh! Our website where you can get merch is dungeonsanddaddies.com. We are at dungeonsanddads on Twitter, bit.ly dungeondads for that private Facebook group, and r/dungeonsanddaddies for that subreddit. Next episode coming at you February 4th. We will see you then. There was a time when you could read between the lines. You know they never brought you down. Never brought you down. Hey folks, this is Will Campos from Dungeons and Daddies. We've had a lot of fun today, but you know what's not fun? Snake bites. If you get bitten by a snake, make sure to know how to deal with that in case that happens.
You know what you do? You Google that shit.
With your non-bitten arm.
Or your phone that's not turned into stone. Dungeons and Daddies is brought to you this week by Blue Nile. There's many reasons to gift jewelry to a loved one.
Name one.
Apologies.
Apologies. Okay. What else? What else?
Did I say that too quickly? Was that too quick?
Bribery. 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 But here's what it comes down to. What's more exciting than seeing the look on their face when you pull out the...
Let me finish the sentence.
That unmistakable little box.
Close one.
Close one. Here's the jewelry.
If you're buying jewelry, there's no better place to do it than BlueNile.com.
This is our almost bracelet when we almost got pregnant. Here you go.
Blue Nile offers thousands of independently graded diamonds and fine jewelry at prices significantly below traditional retailer. When you're looking to give the best gift of all time, Blue Nile is the place to go with some of the highest quality standards in the industry. They also offer peace of mind with every purchase, 30-day returns, and a diamond price match guarantee. They also have experts on hand day and night via phone or chat.
Experts on hand, like, can't you get pregnant the first time? How many days after a period is it okay?
Free diamonds can still get you pregnant.
These are all great questions that you should ask.
Yeah, please ask.
Day or night. Matt, well, tell me about your experience with jewelry.
Well, what's crazy is just last week, me and Anthony got a cup of coffee like we always do. We just like to talk at post-shop, post-talk, a little talk shop. And I was like,
yes, that's what we do.
I was like, Anthony, you know what I was thinking about today? He's like, how great of a service Blue Nile is. I was like, yes. Why don't you tell me the latest jewelry you just got?
I got a diamond ring for my beautiful spouse from Blue Nile, and it was good diamond.
Good diamond.
It was good diamond. They graded it good. I called them up and I said, is
you know
this
that,
good?
Like, you know that good and is
and
probably...
I will. We did not invite you. I called you right before we went out. Mm-hmm. I said, hey, me and Anthony are getting a cup of coffee, talk shop like we always
are
do.
Hanging out.
The diamond dogs. Will,
you said you couldn't come to our coffee because you're on Blue Nile ordering a beautiful... What were you ordering?
That's right. Yeah, that's
what were you
right.
ordering,
I was shopping
Will?
On BlueNile.com. I got a lot of great jewelry and, more importantly, a great deal on that jewelry.
There you go.
Which is just as valuable.
Even more so.
Go to BlueNile.com to find the perfect piece today. That's BlueNile.com. BlueNile.com. Dungeons & Dice is brought to you this week by MeUndies.
Yarr! They're driving me nuts.
Steal your booty! Oh, wow. We're pirates!
Well, right, hey, speaking of things coming out of our pants, MeUndies is finally unveiling the Contour Pouch and Ball Caddy, a micromodal sling that keeps things separated and lifted.
And equal.
Finally.
I hate it when my testicles merge into one.
Listen, it just makes sense. We need a compartment for the dangly bits. The fact that on an engineering standpoint, MeUndies was brave enough. Yeah, I'll say it.
Brave
enough to sew in a big old pouch to keep things
all... Imagine if the only bras that were around were sports bras. No, that's what boxers are.
That's what boxers
but
are.
But finally, they've given us
Beth.
I have issues with this.
But finally, we got underwear that just holds them in its own little compartment.
Beth, would you like to lodge a complaint?
If we only wore sports bras, that would actually be incredible, I think. You know, I would much rather wear a sports bra than a regular bra. But maybe I'm completely lonely.
I have no opinion on the bras.
MeUndies going to develop a ball caddy with an underwire. That's what I want to know.
MeUndies
has... haunting.
Well, listen, you don't have to... By the way, MeUndies, listen, they got the all-black classics, fun, expressive prints. MeUndies,
you don't have to wear them.
Sizes, XS to extra small to 4XL, flattering cuts for everybody, but... They also do, speaking of butts, versatile loungewear. They got lounge collection. They got joggers, hoodies, onesies, and more. I got a little like a bedroom like
hoodie is like underwear for your head.
Yes. MeUndies signature fabric is as soft as a warm hug from your favorite sweater. It's breathable, stretchy, comfy, and it's ideal for all day wear. They use sustainably sourced materials and work with partners that care for their workers. And if you're not happy with your first pair of MeUndies, it's on them. Good things come in big packages at MeUndies. Get 20% off your first order plus free shipping at MeUndies.com/dungeons. That's MeUndies.com/dungeons for 20% off plus free shipping. MeUndies, comfort from the outside in.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ. The official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.